Hi everyone, good afternoon. I am Daniel Adams and I work with Youth Network for Community and Sustainable Development, YNCSD, here in Abuja. YNCSD is a youth-led organization and we are working on achieving social change by engaging young people, and we use the voices of these active young people to speak for human rights through targeted advocacy to key players, capacity building and development, communications and development of strategies to indeed better the lives of young people like us in Nigeria and beyond. And for this podcast, we are hoping to amplify the voices of young people, young queer people in Nigeria who are living as maybe not being able to live their truth, or maybe living their truth, or maybe going through the struggles or through the glories of being a queer person in Nigeria. So this is our own way of celebrating Pride Month. And to celebrate this, we have a special guest with us today who would be telling us about his experiences on what it takes to live in Nigeria as a queer person with the political climate, and share with us what he would like to see come out better in Nigeria as queer people, and also serve as an encouragement for other young queer people who live in Nigeria who may not be able to live their truth openly, or who may be looking for ways to, you know, search themselves through in this political climate in Nigeria. So I am very, very pleased to welcome Matthew Blaze.
Hi everyone.
So please just tell us about you. If you have any other names to add to your names, you could tell us, and then tell us what you do basically.
My name is Matthew Blaze. I'm a 21-year-old LGBTQ rights activist and Women Deliver Leader 2020. Awesome. So what I do, I'm actually a university student, I'm studying English and Literary Studies in a federal university here in Nigeria, but I identify as an activist because of the work I do and how I use my life in reaching out to a lot of queer people that are still struggling here in Nigeria.
Okay. That's very beautiful. I totally congratulate you as well for your new appointment as a Women Deliver Young Leader for 2026. That must be a very great platform for you to amplify your voice as well as a strong advocate that you are for queer people, that's the LGBTQI community in Nigeria. So I would like to say congratulations again. All right, so to get on with this, I would like to know, or YNCSD would like to know, would you please share with us what has it been like for you, Matthew, please, to be a queer person in Nigeria? Maybe from the time you've not been out and proud up until this point. Let's take back to your childhood. How was it growing up with your parents, with your siblings, with relatives, school teachers, maybe in primary school, high school, and all of that? What was that experience like for you?
So as we all know, Nigeria is ranked one of the poorest countries in the world with a very corrupt political climate. So, and for an average Nigerian, the minimum wage is 30,000 naira, which isn't up to $100. So that is for an average Nigerian. So for those below average, there is the possibility that they don't even know what a minimum wage is, and like they don't have a good job and all that. So I fall under that category. Like I was born into a family of that category that don't even know what minimum wage is. Like my parents try every day to survive by doing menial jobs and jobs related to that. So if an average Nigerian is faced with a lot of difficulties, now imagine how it will be for someone below average. So, like, you can't just imagine. So, my parents were not educated, and my siblings weren't really educated. So, when I discovered I was gay, I thought that it was one of those things that would just, like, come and go. Like, your first love. Like, people in your life. People that you never took seriously. So, I thought it was one of those. Sadly, it wasn't. It wasn't at all. I had to deal with conflict in my head, identity crisis, and it wasn't easy at all, especially in a place where I couldn't access adequate resources, such as internet, books, and other educational material. So it wasn't easy for me, and I thought, I thought it was just a phase. Even when the boys in my area assaulted and molested me, I thought it was still a phase. So, like, it was very difficult for me. It was very difficult for me growing up in a place where I couldn't reach out to other queer people, because I was born in the outskirts of Lagos, very close to Ogun State. So it's very rural. It's a slum. Very difficult. It was very difficult for me to ever reach out. So I had to deal with the conflict in my head. I had to deal with assault, and the environment wasn't really helping, because every day we heard the news of court clashes, rape, pedophilia, all these things, they happened right in front of me, and I could not really do anything about them. And just imagine the circumstances around this place, and imagine someone being gay.
Exactly. Like,
in that barbaric area. So when I discovered I was gay, I couldn't let it out to anybody. The boys around me knew, but they did not know it was the word gay. So they knew I was like, they caught me once with a man. So they used that for their advantage. Every day they would always invite me to their place. Then they would take advantage of me. So the one that pains me the most was the day I was going out. Then one of them called me and threatened they would tell my parents about my sexuality if I don't make him penetrate me. So I was scared of my parents knowing I was gay. So if my parents knows, everyone in the area will know, and then it's a big problem for me. Then I tried to follow this guy inside, but it got to a point I told him I wasn't, like, I couldn't just do it. So he tore my clothes. I struggled, and somehow I found a way out of the house. When I got home, my parents asked me what happened, and I told them I was at the playground, and I could not just tell them my sexuality, even at that point, at that difficult point in time. So I told them I was at the playground and something bad happened to me, and yes, my clothes tore. So my mother did not find it likely. As a typical Nigerian mother, she beat me, and I had to deal with that trauma. I still remember that every day, the fact that I could not tell my mother about my sexuality, even when I was at the peak of being raped at a point. So, yes, it wasn't, growing up as a gay person in Nigeria wasn't really okay, especially with my uneducated family
background, okay,
below the average Nigerian family. So, yes, that is it. They weren't educated, we were poor, we lived in a room apartment, we were seven in a room. I never even had privacy to myself. I could not access adequate resources. I could not access anything at all. So living in this place was very difficult.
It wasn't as sweet as it is now.
Finding about my sexuality myself. I had to come in terms with everything myself, without the
support. You didn't get the adequate support you would wish you wished you have you would have had by then to like guide you properly.
Yes, to help you freely accept this identity.
Exactly. So, but when you finally got that, when you came to that realization for yourself that you're a queer person in the community, how did you manage to share these thoughts or to share this person you found out that you are with your family? You know, especially I'm just trying to think how difficult it would be since you just shared that they are not like you come from a family that is not very educated to know all of these things or maybe enlightened. How difficult was it for you to finally come out to them, like share to them, like this is what is going on with you?
Coming out for me wasn't like the way every other people would have it, like having a newspaper publication or gathering your family around the dinner table and tell them, oh wow, mom, dad, I am gay and gay. So it wasn't like that for me. I was dragged out of my closet. I was dragged out of my closet by my femininity. I think that part of me really betrayed me. So my femininity dragged me out of the closet. I was femme.
Wow.
And I did not mention that earlier. Yes, I am femme. So
okay.
It is twice difficult for three times difficult for a fat femme gay person. So these people would always make jest of that, and they would always call me gay and all kinds of things, fag, and all manner of derogatory terms.
Words.
Yes. So like, they were calling me this, and I wasn't really like, I knew not all effeminate people are gay, but me, I am gay, and every time they call me this, I would find a way to reject the identity, insult them, or say something so the shame won't come at me, because the word gay was very shameful. Yes, was very shameful to me. I couldn't just wrap my head around that word gay. It was too difficult. It was too heavy.
Oh well, so, but look at you embracing it right now, and you know, being very free with it. So it's great. It's incredible how you come out from that whole situation and background, and then find yourself to be as bold and as loud as you are about it. It's very, very commendable.
And again, like, we'll talk about my parents, how they found out. My brother, like, there was this time I was outed on national newspaper, because I think it was the Vanguard newspaper. They published something I wrote on Twitter, and they outed me being gay. So my brother called me that and called me disgrace, which I don't care about. So and other people in my family. So yes, they kept calling me to talk to me about it. But then I had already embraced what it was for me. I had embraced that identity, being gay. It was not difficult for me to talk about anymore. So they had to just, like, they don't really accept it, and I keep telling them that they are not in the position to accept me at all. It's not their thing to accept me.
Okay, did they get to, like, you know, rumors or some experiences from some other people saying, okay, they get kicked out from their families, they get like disowned, they get abandoned, and you know, every means of support from family is cut off and all of that.
Yes, all my support, my family support is cut off. I had to leave home 2 years ago because I wasn't comfortable with them. So actually, yes, it happened. I don't get support from them. I fend for myself. I stay somewhere alone. I don't get support from them. Like, everything is out.
Okay. So I want to now move on to Nigeria, the LGBTQI context in Nigeria and how Nigeria is affecting it. So we got the same-sex marriage prohibition act enacted in 2014, right? And
yes.
I would want to find out how that has affected everyone in the LGBTQI community in Nigeria. But first of all, like, enlighten us on what LGBTQI means. Like, what does it mean? Is it just an alphabet or an acronym, or what is it?
LGBTQI is an acronym.
Okay.
For lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, intersex. So that acronym is just the umbrella of sexual orientation and gender identity. So, like, different people that fall under that category, gay people identify as LGBTQI. So it's like an umbrella term for all of us to collectively come together and talk about our struggles, because we almost share the same struggles, and able and intersectional.
Okay, so everything that is outside the what the society would call the normal way of marriage or show of affection, which is heterosexuality,
like,
falls under the LGBTQI.
Your gender expression and all that.
Okay. So, what has life for this whole community of different and very interesting sexual identities or gender identities? What has life been for this community since the enactment of that law that says people cannot get married to people of the same sex in Nigeria? What has that changed? What did that law imply in Nigeria? What came out of that for the queer community?
I think before going to the SSMP, we should realize that we had the criminal code and the panel code, which was the Victorian law, which that was the colonial era law, which still hasn't been getting rid of in Nigeria. So, like, before then, we had these laws which were a big anal sex and all that. So, but like, it's always used for the justification of homophobia and the maltreatment of LGBTQ people in Nigeria. And then, these were the laws before the SSMP, until the SSMP, which was the ground law, finally came in place. So the SSMP restricts a lot of things for queer people. It restricts our freedom of association. Like,
is it freedom to also express yourself as a person?
It restricts major parts of our lives, interactions with people, expressions.
I want to get something clear, Matthew. Does this law also restrict your right of, like, does it really restrict your right of expression? Like, saying, hey, I'm a queer person in Nigeria. Does it hold you from doing that?
It's actually, I've not really studied the SSMP because it's not something, I'm not really interested in legal advocacy. I'm only interested in social change. So, but what I know about the SSMP is that, yes, it actually restricts our form of expression, because according to the SSMP, the first one was no amorous relationship or amorous interaction between people of same sex. So, like, after translating this thing, it means that, like, there are many things you can't even do with your partner, like with someone of the same sex. You can't hug, you can't just express any form of love to them. So especially when you're of the same sex. So it's actually restricts that. But it does not really criminalize being gay.
Okay, exactly. I was going to come to that. Yeah.
Being gay, so you can be gay, but if you are caught in the act, if you are caught having any amorous relationship or interaction with anybody, so yeah, that is it. And again, the state actually has a way of like manipulating the law. So whenever you say you are gay, what they think you are doing at that point, what they think you are at that point is a man standing somewhere being drilled by another man. It's like what they think is anal sex whenever you tell them you are gay. So that is like a misinformation. Whenever you come to me, I tend to get a lot of messages from people insulting me and saying other stuff at me, asking me how my butt looks like because I am. So it's a common homophobic stereotype that every gay person is involved in anal sex, every gay person is sexual, every gay person is like this, which is totally wrong. There are a lot of gay people that are not even sexual. Don't like anal sex. A lot of them are out there. So yes, the SSMP actually restricts many things in our lives, because these things are basic and they are enshrined in our fundamental human rights, right to peaceful assembly, right to life, right to education, right to health care. Like this right, the SSMPA restricts them for gay people. Gay people. So you as a gay person, before you can get health care, you have to lie about being straight or being conforming to the...
presenting yourself as something you are not.
As something you don't naturally identify with.
Yes.
So, yes, this is it. Like, the SSMPA restricts many things now. Like, and as I said earlier, like, I am not really into, like, the legal advocacy. I'm more about the social change, like, helping gay people to accept themselves. So I just talk from a place of, like the shallow interpretation.
Yes, of it. Yeah, you're not doing, like, legal activism, per se.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so and truthfully, that's what YNCSD stands for. We look forward to, we always enjoy amplifying voices that are focused on achieving social change, like I stated earlier, and that is why we are doing this. So you've just made us to realize that the SSMPA, even though in its context, does not criminalize gay people, but it has implanted that sense of homophobia into the general public, such that when they hear the term gay or queer, they just picture the sexual intercourse act in their heads and then use that to maybe criminalize or maybe even abuse these queer persons. What would you suggest? Yeah. What are you doing, or what do you suggest should be done, or how can we help to change this narrative as in Nigerian society? I mean, you know how the society is already. How can we change this narrative, like clear these pictures from the minds of these people, so that when they hear the word being queer or being gay, they don't just picture an asexual intercourse situation? I don't know if you understand what I mean. How do we change that narrative?
Actually, we can't achieve like a homophobia free state without addressing the problems, without addressing state actors, without addressing non-state actors. So, like, we have the state actors, we have the police, we have the government, we have we have the police and the government and every other of their agencies, and we have the non-state actors, the church, the mosque, all these religious organizations, the schools, the universities, the financial institutions, like firms and other works of life. And you can't really you have to like address the homophobia in each of these sectors before you come up with something that can totally help the society. So like, especially like religion is a very strong tool for promoting homophobia. So like, we need to start talking to religious leaders about homophobia. We need to start telling them the experiences of gay people. But it is sad that even when you table these experiences, they don't want to see beyond their religion. They don't care the human lives that are attached to this. They don't care. They only care about this religion. So if we can talk to these people, try to tell them that even the Bible was try to just convince them that like life is more important than any other thing. So respecting people's life is very important. So if we can do all this, then we would actually solve the problem in the religious sector. And like the government needs to address the SSMPA, because the SSMPA is a strong tool which other sectors, state actors and non-state actors use in promoting and implementing homophobia. So you just see like a normal person walking on the street, then they will tell you, if you are a gay person, they will tell you, you know, say homosexuality is a crime for Nigeria. Using the SSMPA, that law says to intimidate and bully gay people.
Okay.
So if the government can address this, come back and check the SSMPA and how it relates with human life, then we can actually address like a huge part of the issue. And again, the society needs sensitization, but it is sad that a lot of queer people are not visible because of the fear of displacement, rejection, discrimination, bullying, killings, and all that. So it is very difficult for us to have this conversation. And again, there's this a lot of people in the society think gay people don't exist, which is a lie. And with the help of visibility and the activism of many out gay people, out gay people who've come to like repel this notion to an extent. So if like we have more visible people out there who are ready to share their stories, who are ready to come up with ideas and platforms for gay people, then we should be able to like accelerate social acceptance to a larger extent, which is very important in this fight against homophobia. If we put all these things together, address the government, take power away from the police, because the SSMPA gives them so much power and gives them the ability to bully many gay people. Take that power away from them. Address religious organizations. Tell them that human lives are more important than whatever is written in a book. Address, if the government implements change in the constitution, then the private sectors and other public sectors will implement this change in the running of their organizations also. So gay people will not be discriminated or sacked at workplaces. So if we like come together and address all these issues, then there will be change. Like this place will be a safer place for gay people, and we won't be killed, discriminated, rejected,
or abused. Yeah,
abused every time, including by our family.
Okay, so just before the next question, because I think we're running out of time, I have like 7 more minutes. I would also like to put it out there that one other way we can get to achieve the social change and accelerate social acceptance, like you said, is also when the queer people understand what the SSMPA is trying to do. It doesn't really criminalize
people gay
in the community. It just stands against the marriage and then every association with people
of that nature.
Exactly. Yeah. So the next and final question, because of our time, is I want to find out from you, with everything that has been said, with all your experiences, with everything that is going on, why do you think it is important for us to join the world in celebrating Pride? What is Pride all about? Why do we need to celebrate it as queer people? What does it stand for? Just enlighten us and people who will be listening to us right now.
Pride is a celebration of our diversity and our beauty as gay people. It is a reflection on our journey, on our individual journeys. So, as I said earlier, I said in my coming out, in my growing up as a gay person in Nigeria question, I said, yes, I shared all that. And I wasn't, it was difficult for me growing up in Nigeria because I couldn't get resources or see someone to look up to. So this is the reality of many gay people in Nigeria. They don't have anyone to look up to. They don't see homosexuality in their day-to-day life. It's not available in the mainstream media. So it is very important to tell them that you are normal. Like, a lot of us are the same. We are across the world, and you are not possessed. It's like to just validate their experiences, validate their identity. So Pride helps us to do that. Pride helps us to inform people that gay people have always been in history and will continue being in history. So yes, Pride is very important to me because of these things it does. It makes me reflect on my journey as a gay person. It makes me celebrate my diversity and my beauty. And it gives me this connection with the international community. And hence, I don't feel alone in the month of June, because I log on Twitter and I see colors. I log on Facebook and I see colors. I log on Instagram and I feel the same. So there's no sense of being alone, especially in Pride. So yes, that's it.
Awesome. That's very lovely. Do you have any Pride message? Do you have anything to put out there in this season of Pride for maybe other young queer people in Nigeria like you, who may not be as bold as you are, or who may not have the courage to be vocal as you are about it? Do you have any message or any words of encouragement for them? I'm sure they'd like to hear something from you.
What I like telling people is, like, I just want you to know that your existence is not a mistake at all. Never was it a mistake. So, like, straight person that was born straight, you were born gay, and you are not the problem. The society is the problem. I feel once we come to identify the problem, then we can start addressing the issue. So if you know you as a gay person, you are not the problem and the society is the problem, then we start addressing the problem, which is the society. I have come to that point in my life where I don't even blame myself for things like this. So I blame and shame people that are the perpetrators of this evil towards me. So once you know this thing, once you know you are not the problem, once you know the world is the problem, then it will be very simple for you to get out of the stagnant point you are. And again, it's very important to do what works for you. So if you as a gay person now, you are in a very abusive family and you're looking for ways to navigate.
Yes. And
just weigh your options. Just weigh your options. I had to leave home after weighing my options. Like, I was tired of being abused at home. So I had to look for another place to go, which wasn't easy for me at all. So I just had to navigate the option, and I had to weigh it. So if you can do that and help yourself, it is very important. At the end of everything, don't forget that you need your community. You need your community to fight this day-to-day encounter with homophobia. You can't do it alone. You need your community. Find gay friends. Meet them online. Come on Twitter. Come on Instagram. Come on these spaces where you see a lot of gay people. And absorb that gay energy. It is really important to do so.
Thank you very, very much. I'm sure younger listeners would, you know, pick some encouragement from what you've just shared. And YNCSD is very, very grateful to have you, Matthew, to commemorate Pride Month with us. Indeed, we respect diversity, we respect individual differences and peculiarities in YNCSD, and we are surely against the stigma and discrimination against people, against queer people and people who prefer to identify differently from what the society has put out for us. And we just want to share with everybody in the world that we understand your struggles, we understand your pain, and we are actively working to achieve change at the end of the day. We look out for a world in YNCSD where everybody would be accepted and respected for, irrespective of their gender identity, sexual orientation, or choice of expression. We look for that world where everybody will be seen as one, where nobody will be tolerated or accepted, but everybody will just be seen as one and as an individual. Once again, we thank you so much, Matthew Blaze, for joining us on this call. We are hoping to make sure everyone has a very, very wonderful Pride Month. And as we come to the end of the month, we are saying, stay encouraged and continue with your advocacy and don't give up the fight. We are hoping that change is going to come one day. Thank you very much, Matthew.
Thank you to our dear
listeners. We have come to the end of this podcast for today. Enjoy the rest of the month and happy Pride.